Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. The state reported another COVID-19 death yesterday. The Department of Health and Social Services release says the victim was an Anchorage man in his 70s. It was Alaska's 25th COVID-19-related fatality. The DHSS also announced another 61 Alaska resident COVID-19 cases in 13 communities, including 40 in Anchorage, 4 in Fairbanks, and 2 apiece in Ukiavik and the Northwest Arctic Borough. There were also 19 new non-resident cases identified Sunday. 2 were North Slope oil industry workers. There was 1 new hospitalization reported, bringing the total number of people hospitalized with either confirmed or suspected COVID-19 infections as of Sunday night to 38. A group of 3 Eielson Air Force Base service members were involved in a weekend accident that claimed one of their lives. Alaska State Troopers report that the 3 were on a bicycle trip on the Steese Highway, taking turns riding and driving a support vehicle, which ran into the riders early Saturday morning, killing one of them and injuring the other. 37-year-old Major Michael Gentry, commander of Eielson's 354th Contracting Squadron, was killed in the collision near Central, which base officials say occurred around 6 a.m. near milepost 125 of the Steese Highway. The other rider, 39-year-old J.M. Butler, was injured and transported by a Fort Wainwright-based Army helicopter crew to Fairbanks, where he was treated at Fairbanks Memorial Hospital and released. Troopers say the driver inadvertently struck Butler and Gentry as he was following them. They are withholding the driver's name as an accident investigation is conducted in conjunction with Eielson Air Force Base officials. Another Eielson Air Force Base service member died yesterday following what base officials describe as a medical-related emergency. An Eielson news release issued yesterday afternoon says an airman assigned to the 354th Fighter Wing died around 7:15 Monday morning at Fairbanks Memorial Hospital after being transported there from an off-base residence. Base officials are withholding the identity of the service member until next of kin is notified. A man survived a bear attack on Kodiak Island over the weekend. KMXT reports that 71-year-old local running legend Don Zimmerman was attacked Sunday on Pillar Mountain on the outskirts of town. Zimmerman's son Dave Zimmerman says his father lost a lot of blood and remains in the hospital where he's recovering from puncture wounds and a broken arm. Zimmerman says his father told him he didn't have time to be afraid as the bear came out of nowhere, attacked in a matter of seconds, retreated, and then returned. He says his father was able to fend off the animal with bear spray and called for help on his cell phone. Dave Zimmerman says his father has been running the same trail for 40 years and never saw a bear. Fish and game biologist Nate Svoboda, who is investigating the incident, says brown bear attacks are unusual, but it's good to be prepared.
Everywhere you go on Kodiak Island, whether you be on Pillar Mountain or in the backcountry somewhere, you're in bear country everywhere. That, hey, bear spray is a lifesaver.
Svoboda says it's unclear what caused the attack, but it's possible Zimmerman surprised the bear or the animal was defending a kill site. But he says investigators found no evidence of that. He says it's unlikely the bear will turn up in the area again, but warning signs have been posted. A 22-year-old village public safety officer in the southwest Alaska community of Eek has been charged with sexual assault and human trafficking. KYUK's Christy Schallenberger reports.
Village Public Safety Officer James Heakin was called to investigate a domestic violence assault in Eek in June. A few days later, the 22-year-old officer returned to update his photos of the woman's injuries for the police report. According to a statement from Alaska State Troopers, Heakin took the woman into her bathroom to take the photos. The statement says during that time, Heakin sexually assaulted her. The woman said he told her not to say anything. On July 30th, an Eek Village police officer alerted the Bethel-based troopers that the woman reported Heakin sexually assaulted her. Troopers headed out to Eek to investigate and arrested Heakin on Sunday. Heakin faces 3 felony counts of sexual assault, and the charging document says he also faces 1 felony count of human trafficking for compelling the woman to, quote, to engage in sexual conduct by deception, unquote. His first hearing was held Monday in Bethel. Reporting in Bethel, I'm Christy Schallenberger.
Catherine Gottlieb is resigning as president and chief executive officer of South Central Foundation, one of the state's largest medical providers and a hub of the native healthcare system. Alaska Public Media reports that the news announced yesterday comes weeks after South Central fired three dentists, including the CEO's husband, Kevin Gottlieb, who was also a senior executive at the organization. The announcement did not say why Catherine Gottlieb is stepping down. Gottlieb has been with South Central since 1987 and has been its chief executive for nearly 30 years. Close friend and professional colleague Diane Kaplan, president of the Rasmussen Foundation, says Gottlieb is the great Alaska success story. Born in Old Harbor and raised in Soldovia, Gottlieb dropped out of high school and had a baby while she was in her teens. Kaplan says Gottlieb started at South Central as a receptionist and earned advanced degrees and in a few short years rose to chief executive.
I think when she was hired, they had a total of 12 employees and today they have 2,500. And that was all under her watch.
Gottlieb is recognized nationally for her innovation in addressing fetal alcohol syndrome and domestic violence and developing the NUCA system of integrated healthcare. She is on the faculty of Harvard Medical School as a part-time lecturer on global health and social medicine. She's received numerous national awards, including a 2004 MacArthur Fellowship known as a Genius Grant. Kaplan did not elaborate on why Gottlieb is resigning.
I don't know all the details of what's going on there, but I'm sure she had good reasons for deciding to leave at this point.
South Central has revenues of $400 million. Catherine Gottlieb's salary was over $600,000, according to South Central's 2018 tax return. Kevin Gottlieb, as vice president and chief of staff, earned more than $700,000 that same year. A Golden Valley Electric Association power outage affected more than 7,000 customers from Fairbanks to Delta Junction overnight Saturday into Sunday. Golden Valley officials say the blackout began around 5:15 Saturday night when lightning hit a substation near the Pogo Mine north of Delta Junction, knocking out power to more than 2,000 customers in the Delta area for more than 8 hours. Service was restored in the Delta area around 1 a.m. Sunday. A utility spokesperson says Saturday's heavy winds and rains made it hard for crews to find the problem and that the utility was unable to start a backup generator at another substation in Delta, a problem that's being investigated. As Saturday's storm moved north, it knocked out power to more than 5,000 Fairbanks area GVEA customers, leaving some without electricity until early Sunday morning as Golden Valley crews worked overnight to restore service. The wet weather system that hung over the central and eastern interior Saturday through Monday dropped a record amount of rain on an area of western Denali National Park Sunday. Alaska Center for Climate Assessment and Policy climate specialist Rick Toman says an automated weather station along the McKinley River recorded 5.35 inches of rain Sunday.
That is as far as we've been able to sleuth out so far. The greatest 24-hour rainfall of record in interior or northern Alaska. During the great August 1967 storm that produced the record flooding, there were places that in the interior that had excess of 4 inches of rain.
Toman says the previous 24-hour rain record for northern Alaska was 4.58 inches at Clear in August 1967. Records hinge on weather stations to record them, and Toman notes that there are many automated stations now that did not exist in past decades.
But clearly, this is an extreme rainfall for the normally semi-arid interior of Alaska.
The system that dropped all the rain swept out of the Gulf of Alaska into Canada and then moved east into the interior, a path Toman says is unusual for this time of year. I'm Dan Bross.